and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program this week. My guest is West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. We'd love to have your questions for him. You can call those in to 765-496-1999. Send emails to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. So I've asked you this before, and I alluded to it in the opening to the show. New Year's resolutions, are you a guy who, apart from resolving to try to seek another term as mayor, has made a New Year's resolution?
I can resolve that all I want, but it's really not totally up to me.
That's right.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because we talk about this at home. And now that we're like grandparents and getting up there on the, you know, almost Social Security age category, we've come to the realization that we've exercised all the easy ones, you know, like giving up chocolate or, you know, stopping, you know, wearing black Converse high tops or whatever. It's getting really hard to find one that you could, you know, actually do. And then the other thing is that the coolest thing about having a grandkid, and I'm not just segueing into my grandchild, but is I can, he's at the age now where I can ask him questions. And it's like, okay, Jonathan, is it okay if I do this? And if it, so if he says no on stuff a lot, I'm thinking of maybe using that as the potential for my New Year's resolutions because it comes from upon high.
I see.
The new king of the roost, you know?
All right. That's it. That's an interesting way to go.
How about you? How about radio guys? Do you guys have resolutions? Don't pop your peas when you're on the...
That is definitely
Don't click your pen.
That's
all these habits
resolution
that you've yelled at me for doing.
Right. My resolution is take away the clicky pen from all of the mayors
there
who come
go
on the program.
There yeah you go.
Well, let's start with some listener questions. We've gotten quite a few of them. And we'll start with this one from Nina, who writes, I'm a resident of the New Chauncey area and see many scooters as I walk my dog daily around the area. I take it from your reaction, you've seen the scooters too. Nina says, I'm observing students riding them either on the sidewalks or in the middle of the road, and neither is safe. I'm really concerned I'll be bowled over by a sidewalk rider as the scooters seem to go quite fast. She says parking them is also a problem. Some are parked tidily and others left blocking the sidewalk. So she says, just as it's a privilege to drive a car where we need to pass a test, I think it should be a privilege to drive a scooter, and the expectation needs to be that rules are followed. So therefore, she says, I am proposing a ban on their use until the city can come up with a way to satisfactorily police them. Is this something that you have heard before?
Oh, man. I wish it was so eloquently put. I couldn't say on the radio some of the things that I've heard about these scooters. As luck would have it, we actually met with the company that is responsible for the distribution of the Bird scooters just yesterday. A little background on it. Obviously, they've been around for quite some time. They started off with a business plan or a business model that was – you know, your proverbial Reese's cup of revenue. I mean, they decided to bring scooters into an area, put them where you've got a high density population base of potential users, and make it cool to use them. In other words, it's app based and everybody's got their cell phone, so it's just kind of a fashionable way to get around.
And we'll point out here too that we've done some reporting on this, and it seems to be that they don't have a tendency to ask municipal leaders before they go and do this.
And that's where I was going. We woke up one morning to find these littered around our community, like, you know, beer cans after Breakfast Club. No offense to beer cans or Breakfast Club attendees. It was just an analogy I thought would be appropriate for a visual.
I think people get the idea.
We're in the word business here, right, Stan? Anyway, so we felt that it was incumbent upon us to try and figure out a better way to get this situation taken care of. Because of it being a web-based business and because of the restrictions that we have when it comes to seizing private property, we our hands were tied a little bit, just say rather loosely tied. But more importantly, what we came to realize is that as this product became more popular, the management of Bird scooters decided to increase the number of scooters available. And so it went from an original drop of 300 to about 3,000. And the good bad of that is that obviously if you're a regular routine user of the scooter, they're everywhere.
So you're telling me there are now 3,000 of
yes
these things in Greater Lafayette?
Yes.
So 10 times what originally were there.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, pick your nightmare. I mean, we have seen them in trees. We've seen them in trash cans. We see them in yards. We see them on streets. We see them covering sidewalks. We see them blocking ADA access points. It's one of those nightmares that the presumption is that it's so easy to manage. You know, as one person told me, why don't you just go out there with one of your snowplows and just pick them up? and dump them. And we would if we could, but obviously there are certain restrictions that we have to abide by as local government. Because again, a little segue, if government takes something, it's really, really bad. A private citizen does something like that, there might be a penalty to pay down the road, but it's not nearly as cumbersome as being government. So
let me get back to two things here. Mm-hmm. One, Nina's question about the idea of a ban. Mm-hmm. That seems like something you could do,
yes,
right?
Yes, and that's kind of where I was going with
and
this.
But then, of course, the thing you run into is these things are undeniably popular, especially mm-hmm. with the students who live most of the year in your community.
Yeah.
So are you at all worried about the backlash from students if you do that?
The only answer I can give to that is one that I've actually seen. The number of scooters that are not in use are absolutely phenomenal. The logic of placement of the scooters is somewhat misguided because they put them in areas where they believe there to be a high density of potential users, and sometimes it just doesn't play out that way.
Well, I believe the other thing that happens is these companies engage people to be chargers for
yep.
them, and so you grab three or four of them, bring them into your house at night, charge
yep.
them, and then line them up by, I think it's 7 the following morning
yep.
on a sidewalk.
Yep, I've actually seen that in process, and it's another oddity. But let's get back to some of the basics. The rules that govern most vehicular traffic, whether it be a bicycle, whether it be a skateboard, whether it be a car, motorcycle, whatever, are fairly consistent. Stay off the sidewalks. Don't impede traffic. And so there are particular rules that they must abide by. So in Nina's first or one of her many questions, it's currently regulated. The bigger issue is why are there so many here, and what are we going to do to work with this company to try and minimize the impact that it has on our environment here in West Lafayette? And we met with them yesterday, as luck would have it, and we were very direct on how it's impacted this city, how it's impacted Lafayette, what our expectations are, and the need for them to be more conscientious about the community that they're trying to do business in. And a sidebar to that is that we're actually in the process of writing some rules and regulations pertaining specifically to those modes of transportation.
So what was the company's response?
Oh, gee. We'll do everything we can. And I'm being a little glib, but they did seem to be sincere.
Your tone makes it seem like you thought were a little disingenuous.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm an old cop. I don't believe anything until I see it. But the people that we met with, we were supposed to meet with the area Big Cheese, but unfortunately he couldn't make it to the meeting. So we met with his number two person, who is in charge of operations for the most part. And we impressed upon him rather directly that the way things are going now are unacceptable. And he promised us, I told him again, very directly, I said, you're going to be losing most of your service base in about 7 days. And I told him, I expect to see about 3,000 less scooters littering my community. And he shook my hand and said that he would do that. He would remove.
So you expect them to pick those up,
yes,
and not bring them back until the students return?
Well, we expect them to pick them up, and then we're going to be in the process of crafting policy that's going to have more direct guidelines for them to abide by.
And can you give us any detail on what those might
say?
Yeah,
it's like anything. It's going to be where they can be parked, what they can and can't do, where they can be ridden, and then some things in regards to how they do business. If there's no direct point of contact for us, for instance, if there is an issue, we want to be able to call somebody within management to say, hey, this is the problem. This is what you need to do to rectify it. Or we're either going to fine you, you know, based upon our fee schedule for some of the issues that we've had similar to that. Or we'll go ahead and see what we can do to remove your business charter for our community.
Well, recognizing, of course, you've got now 2 or 3 different scooter companies that have dropped those scooters
yes.
in your community. So,
yes. And this is happening. Our guys have spoke to the folks in other college communities in Indiana. And this is, you know, this is like the kegger of you know, college communities. Everybody's dropping them off. Everybody's making money. The students really enjoy them. And don't get me wrong, I think it's a neat idea. But like everything else, I mean, there has to be some rules. There has to be some respect on the part of the vendor to the city that they're doing business in.
Let me ask a question just in terms of a law enforcement or city cleanup sort of way. If these are laying on a sidewalk or they're laying in the middle of the street, and they are either impeding people's travel mm-hmm. or they are just, you know, laying there, obviously mm-hmm. not being used.
Mm-hmm.
Could the city legally classify them, say, as litter and pick them up as though they were garbage and be well within their rights mm-hmm. to do so?
We do pick them up. I mean, I jokingly was over at the police department, and there were some of the gentlemen with our neighborhood resource team down there in the basement. And they came walking up and said, "Hey, Mayor." And I just looked at them and said, "Go pick up scooters. Pick them up." And they told me, "We are doing that." And they said that they oftentimes get trunk loads of scooters. And by the time they get them to our garage where we'd place them, the people, I guess they're called bird catchers.
That would make sense.
Yeah, wouldn't it though? They are creative. These guys really are creative. But they said that they are there to take the scooters and have them released to them. And so we're doing everything we can, but the laws are so loosey-goosey right now that we need to look at other communities, model some policy after the other communities, work collaboratively with Lafayette, and get some restrictions put down so we can at least control this business.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA, talking today with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. Call in your questions at 765-496-1999 or email them to ask@wbaa.org. We've got another question in here which says, "Why don't we salt roads and intersections properly and well on time on wintry precipitation days?" This person says, "Yesterday, even major intersections were bad still at 8 in the morning."
Mm-hmm. We do. We actually, what we do is we don't necessarily salt, because the salt does a really bad job on the road. We use a brine. It's a liquid. Oftentimes on some
salt
of these,
water.
Yeah, yeah. You were a chemist when you were in college, weren't
I
you?
I did take 2 years at chem in high school.
You're a good
but
dude.
But you do not want me to be any sort of mathematician or scientist. That would go badly.
That would not work well.
No, the engineering firm that would hire me would be in a real bad
just
way.
Just bad stuff.
Yep.
Anyway, if you drive up some of our roads, and if it's been a relatively sunny day, you can see these lines on the roads. It looks like the roads have been streaked or somebody's driving with a leaky load. And in essence, that's exactly what it was. We go ahead and pre-salt and pre-brine, and in some cases even use beet juice to go ahead and get the surface prepared for a hard freeze.
So obviously that costs the city some money to do, and it mm-hmm. sounds like this question asker says that they think that the city's perhaps not doing as much as it could, perhaps not putting as much of the stuff down mm-hmm. as it could. I did a feature story a few years ago where I went out after a major snow with one of your crews and mm-hmm. rode up and down the hills, and they explained to me kind of how some streets get treated before others, because mm-hmm. obviously you want to make sure that
traffic,
you don't have slippery hills that people are sliding down mm-hmm. and into oncoming traffic and mm-hmm. things like that. So as you look at the fact, for instance, that, you know, last winter in terms of the stuff you had to put down on the roads wasn't as bad as a couple mm-hmm. of winters prior. So
oh, yeah.
your city and other cities have a little bit more built up than mm-hmm. you would have in a lot of winters. Mm-hmm. Could you use something like that fact to your advantage to say, all right, we have a little bit of extra leeway this winter to put more down mm-hmm. on the front end and then see if you get a bunch of precipitation mm-hmm. that then needs extra attention later on? So treat it well, you know, kind of use it while you've got it, type mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not being defensive, but they do. They really do. They're very conscientious about how they salt, when they salt, and where they salt. The bad thing about a lot of those products is that it doesn't take very long for them to be either, you know, crushed off the road, or if you get enough precipitation, it dilutes the solution to the point where it's not very effective. The coolest thing about salt, and what generally people don't know, is that in and of itself, it doesn't do very much work. I mean, a salt drop on a piece of ice will eventually melt through it. But what makes salt really effective is when people are driving on it, because you create that friction, and that's what generates the necessary heat to get the ice off the road.
And you spread it out.
And then guess what that does? That dilutes the salt, so eventually you're back to where you were. So a lot of it has to do with timing. I think we've got over 300 miles of road, probably a lot more than that since State Street. And our guys do everything they can to make sure they do it just like you said. They prioritize hills and potential slick spots, intersections, primary arterials, connectors, and then smaller neighborhood roads.
I have another road question here that came in from Chris, who writes, "I've been wondering why streets are not repaired to their original condition when they're torn up for utility work. In general, a rough fill of the hole created by the work is done, leaving rough pavement and or edges that easily throw a bike tire. One current example is on Fowler," he says, "near the intersection of Chauncey. I don't remember how long it's been," Chris says, "but a concern conservative estimate would be at least a month or maybe 6 weeks. So he's saying that when work is done, it's not necessarily returned to its previous condition. It's not as good as it was mm-hmm. when the actual work, either utility lines or something like that, is done.
Mm-hmm. That's not uncommon. We oftentimes have to get on the utility folks' backside to make sure that they do recondition the roads the way they found them. Depending upon the nature of the work that needs to be done, let's say hypothetically it's us. You know, there's a lateral that went bad. There's a sewer line that went bad. We're the ones that need to dig it up and fix it. Because it's us, we know that we've done that project, and we go back and reinspect after there's been some compaction. Some people have driven on it, and so we do what we can to make sure that it's right. If it's an outside source, the biggest thing we need to make sure is that they let us know what's going on. It's not so hard with major utilities because they've got to go through a process of alerting us. Sometimes if it's a homeowner and they are getting some, again, hypothetically, their sewer system doesn't work and they call in, you know, Joe's sewer company, they come in and they do a quick fix. They might need to reconnect to a lateral. They might need, not necessarily a lateral, but they do get into the roadway in some way. We don't know about it, so generally, unless we're notified, there's not much we can do. But we can do one of two things. We either can get on the private contractor's backside and get it fixed, or we have the equipment to go ahead and compact it and roll it ourselves.
By the way, a comment that just came in from a listener, Vincent, about the scooters. He says, my main observation of the scooters and society is that I'm 52 and I started packing on the weight after I left college. Fitness, I can't believe young people can't walk. It's going to take a toll on everyone's health. They call it last mile transportation, he says, but I think we were born with the solution for the last mile transportation. Feet.
Vincent rocks. That's exactly what I said a few months ago when all these the first thing was, and you're going to find this hilarious, I was running the Purdue Mini Marathon this fall, and I'm 59 years old, and so I wouldn't say that I'm up there at the front of the pack. But anyway, I'm sitting there running, and behind me I hear this zzzz. I'm thinking, what the heck is that? It's a kid on a motorized skateboard filming his friend who is running the Mini. And then I'm thinking, okay, this is silly. And then I look further, and Vincent's actually right. People are using skateboards. They're using scooters, all of which are motorized or electronic. And walking seems to be the last course of action anybody wants to take. And think about what's going to happen to this population in about another 20 years.
I've seen the end of WALL-E. I know what happens.
Well, you and I are very fit and physical. You
may be.
We're Adonises. So but just think these kids. I mean, fast food, no exercise. Your arteries are going to start looking like some of our sewer pipes. Bad scene. Bad scene.
Another question's come in from Chris, who says, I parked along State Street to go to a business on the north side of the street. There are walkways to access the sidewalk, but I was surprised that there are no walkways to go down to drive in front of to the drives in front of businesses. I had to walk carefully down a snowy, grassy slope. Will a few walkways be installed there?
Where was she again?
North side of State Street to go to a business there is what Chris says.
Yeah. Yes. Just a short answer. One of the designs for the State Street project was that we were going to make sure that there was connectivity to our business population. So if it's not going to be a sidewalk, it'll more than likely be a trail, dedicated trailway.
So stuff still needs to be built, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there's still some. Yeah, we're doing what they call a punch list on that.
So we are approaching the end on the calendar of when the whole State Street project was supposed to be done, mm-hmm. theoretically supposed to be done by the end of this month, as the original timeline said. Mm-hmm. It doesn't quite seem like we're going to get all of it done by the end of the month.
Not by the end of construction season, no. No, but that's not uncommon. So
how much longer do you think?
Oh, I think it'll be done early spring. I mean, some of the stuff that needs to be done is true. It's true, actual construction completion. Other is stuff, kind of that unintended consequences, things like maybe a missing trail that wasn't included in the original design, maybe a redesign of a particular road that's going to extend the timeline of the project, silly little things like that. But it'll be, I would say, a good 95% buttoned down by the end of this year, and then there'll be some small things on a punch list to get cleaned up.
So let me ask you a question from me. May sound simple, but I'm not sure the answer is. And the question is, who's your police chief these days? We have reported, of course, that Jason Domkowski took a leave of absence to run for sheriff. That race ended unsuccessfully for mm-hmm. him early last month. Mm-hmm. What is his future as the head of the West Lafayette Police Department?
Well, right now, Jason Domkowski is the chief of the West Lafayette Police Department. He had requested prior to the election to go on unpaid leave. And he actually requested that through the end of the year. So I can't speculate as to what he's doing. I can only presume that he's probably looking at what his next career is going to be. But if not, then he comes back and we resume as we have.
How long will you wait until that determination is made?
First of the year.
So you want to have yeah. you want to know yourself yeah. as his boss.
Well, I mean, that was the agreement. He was going to just run through the rest of the year and then look at what the New Year situation is going to be. And this is a little insider baseball on police stuff. A lot of times a police officer will hold off on his vacation or basically, you know, not take any vacation until the end of the year and then work a day in the next year. And then you have that entire year of vacation time to still get paid for, even if you get a secondary career. It's unless you're getting another government job, it's what a lot of the guys do. Like, for instance, they'll be basically still getting paid as a police officer and then also working in the private sector somewhere.
So clearly he has not been the acting police chief for some time now. He's been
he's been
away from the police department.
Right. Troy Harris right now is the acting police chief, Deputy Chief Troy Harris.
Let me ask you, what happens if Chief Domkowski decides to keep that the same? What happens if he says, Mayor, I've decided not to come back as police chief for whatever reason. What happens then?
Well, if he decides not to come back, then I will appoint a new chief and then also, with the new chief's guidance, appoint a new deputy chief because those are both mayoral promotions. And then there's the promotional chain that goes through the merit commission all the way up to, I think, the rank of captain. Yeah. If he comes back, it's just status quo. It's the way it was before he ran for sheriff.
So let me ask, if that happens, do you think there would be any rancor in the police department? Because you've had Troy Harris acting as mm-hmm. the de facto chief for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. There were some people who, quite frankly, looked a little askance at the idea that Jason Domkowski was running for another office and chose not to be the chief mm-hmm. in the midst of a campaign season. Mm-hmm. I think you can argue that one both ways
sure.
pretty successfully. But so what happens if he just steps back into that job? Do you think there will be anybody who will take a side-eyed view of that?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And, you know, I'm speculating what's going on in Jason's mind. I don't know what he's going to do. I can only think that the reason why he's taking this time off is to look for employment in his next career choice. He can apply himself just as enthusiastically towards that as he did towards the sheriff's campaign. And I'm honoring that. I mean, Jason is a friend of mine. We have been through a lot of things together. He's been chief now for, he'll be finishing his 11th year. And in police work, that's a lifetime. So I would presume that this time is being spent looking at his next employment option, his next career. But if that doesn't work out.
You sound like you don't think he's coming back.
I don't. I mean, I'm just, my opinion is I don't think he's coming back.
Okay. On to other things. The Tippecanoe County Commissioners have voted to extend the county's needle exchange another year. They do this about every mm-hmm. December, taking a look at how it's gone. But they're going to move it to a different location, a different neighborhood in Lafayette. Uh-huh. So I wanted to present to you some numbers that were given at a meeting this week. The county's on pace to nearly cut its number of hepatitis C cases in half year Ooh. Over year.
Wow.
The exchange has actually accepted more needles than it's given out.
Wow.
And so worries about finding them strewn around the city
yeah.
don't seem to have proven true. We've talked about your opinion on the needle mm-hmm. exchange in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers seem to be trending in a way that's not at least alarming.
No, it seems that's pretty good news.
What's
unexpected, to be honest.
I wondered if any of the numbers would change your mind. Like, what, as a skeptic of the needle exchange
yeah,
program,
skeptic. You're being very polite.
have you looked at any of the numbers and gone, maybe I need to reevaluate where I stand?
I do. I have. I still have a philosophical issue with giving drug kits that empower people to break the law. That's just old school blue head thinking.
You're talking about your learning as a police officer.
Yeah, blue head. Sorry about that. Thank God you understand my cliches. You know, when you think about greater good, when you think about, you know, we are all here for a purpose, and isn't this purpose to try and improve the quality of life of everybody, even some of those that are making horrible choices? I see now where there is a modicum of success coming in. You know, Dr. Adler was always very strong about telling us all of the critics, saying, stand by, be patient. Let's see if this thing works. If it sucks, we'll pull the plug. But if we see progress, join the band. And it seems to me that there is that they are having some areas where it's being successful. I'd like to talk to Dr. Adler and see what his belief system is on why the trends are changing. You know, I'm sure that probably needle exchange, the concept of that has something to do with it. Maybe it's education. You know, maybe it's enforcement on the other side. There's fewer people that are actually using in the community. But it sounds like the holistic approach is starting to really prove some positive results.
Well, and I think. A lot of people would argue that no matter what program it is, any program takes time for adoption.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Except for Bird scooters.
Right. That was nearly instantaneous. Yeah. So what, just to ask you one more follow-up on this, mm-hmm. What do you need to go from being a skeptic to being a supporter of the needle exchange?
Just these type of results. You know, I mean, when I was a police officer, one of the real eye-opening, you know, exposures that I had, particularly when I was involved in working narcotics, is that that's a really smart group. Folks that are addicted and that aren't necessarily in a position to randomly purchase the products that they're in need of using are very creative and have ways of having systems in place within that specific special interest group that can really skew the understanding of that particular problem. And that's kind of bureaucrat speak for saying sometimes the results ain't what they seem. So, you know, my skeptical eye is getting squinted, but I'd still like to kind of have some chats and see how it's working out.
One more quick topic in our last minute or so. There's been some renewed discussion about changing the majority or maybe even all of Indiana back to central time. You've got plenty of people who commute between your city and Chicago, for mm-hmm. instance. What is your preference as this discussion, which never seems to go away in Indiana, has come back around again? You're right
I
on
like
the borderline.
I like central time, man. I just, you know, I just do. I always liked when you get – it depends if you're a morning person or a night person.
Okay.
What are you?
I like being able to play tennis till 9:30 at night in ambient light in the summer. So I guess I'm an Eastern time guy.
Okay. Well, I'm a morning guy.
Okay.
You know, I like waking up and having a bit of sunshine. So I think I'd like to go the other way again. And plus, that's when I do all my stuff. You know, I exercise and do all my things in the morning. Now, again, as I get older, maybe that'll change. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe you're just old at heart, Stan.
I think there are a lot of people who would agree with that assessment.
Nah.
So if it came back around again, you would be willing mm-hmm. to say, hey, let's go back to be with Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of right. And when you look at the commerce that goes back and forth between, you know, Greater Lafayette and Chicago, it's pretty significant as well.
It certainly is. Do you think that the state should be split, or would you like to see the entire state on one time zone?
Yeah, man. All for one and one for all. I think we just, you know, everybody jumps into the pool at the same time.
Just pick one and go with it,
basically. Just go with it. I mean, it's time. Seriously, it's time.
All right.
And I'm not saying it's time to do it. I'm just saying we're talking about something chronologically, you know, it's time.
Sure. Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Back at you.
And we'll see you again in January.
I'll be around.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember to listen at this time next week for our conversation with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. And you can find all of these shows archived at our website, WBAA.org. Send a question for any mayor to ask@WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.